May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 491. Pleased we read in sacred story how our Lord resumed his breath. Where's, O grave, thy conquering glory? Where's thy sting, thou phantom death? Soon thy jaws, restrained from chewing, must disgorge their ransomed prey. Man first gave thee power to ruin. Man too takes that power away. Hymn 491.
Yeah. May it please God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this evening. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke and we'll read chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke and reading chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. The same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, But weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say in the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. great and eternal Lord God. May we have some conscious realization that we, as unworthy sinners of the earth, are wonderfully privileged to be able to approach unto the majesty in heaven through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we blessedly understand and know the wonder to have such an high priest, such an advocate. And we pray that even tonight, may we pray in faith, nothing wavering. And may our prayers enter in to the holy place. And may they be accepted in the Beloved. And may we receive answers of peace. Lord, we come confessing our sins, confessing our unworthiness. And Lord, we come tonight dependent upon thy grace and upon thy mercy. But Lord, we earnestly pray tonight, as we're privileged to be able to gather together, that thou wilt come and make one with us, so that we may know indeed the truth of those words, wonderful words, Jesus in the midst. And Lord, may our hearts be drawn up to the great and glorious Saviour. Lord, we read about that time in the history of the world, when thou didst so willingly suffer all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And Lord, may we realize that that suffering was so that we might be forgiven of all our sins, and so that we might, by thy wondrous grace, be found in due time in glory with thee throughout eternity. And we pray, Lord, that such truths may be very powerful in our lives, that they may influence us, Lord. Lord, let us not be influenced by the evil voice of the devil. But Lord, we are thankful indeed to have the great truth of the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that may indeed wonderfully influence us for good. Lord, that we may have that grace to turn away from the things which do not profit. Lord, there are many things perhaps we involve ourselves in which do not profit. We pray, Lord, to follow those things which are profitable for our souls. Lord, we pray for much grace, strength to do these things. And Lord, through these things, may thy great and holy name be lifted up and honoured and glorified. Lord God, we're thankful to know that we have today a risen Saviour, one who is seated on the right hand of the Father in glory. Lord, give us faith to believe and to receive such great truths and to realize how necessary it is for us today. For Lord, without a Saviour, without an intercessor, we would have no hope of salvation, and we would indeed perish in our sins. And so we pray, Lord, tonight our hearts may be touched, may be moved to realize the wondrous love of the Lord Jesus Christ that constrained him to come into this sinful world and to die to atone for our sins. Lord, we would say with the hymn writer, "On such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me?" Lord, may we be amazed. Lord, may our hearts be softened to think that the ruler of the universe, has taken notice of us, and perhaps even tonight caused us to come here, caused our ears to be unstopped, as it were, to hear that gracious exhortation that was sent to those seven churches in Revelation: those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Lord, we pray tonight we may be blessed with spiritual ears to hear the good news of the gospel and to rejoice in that which has been done. And Lord, to have the evidence that we are amongst those who now is loved with an everlasting love, amongst those who one day we shall be found in glory with our glorious Saviour, to spend eternity there. And Lord, help us to realise the wonderful blessing of such a situation. And help us, Lord, to compare it with the poor vanities of this world, and to realise, Lord, what a vast, vast difference there is. And we seek then for that grace to set our hearts and our affections upon things above, not on things on the earth. Lord, we're thankful then tonight that it is our privilege to be able to gather together to worship. And, oh Lord, once again we pray that we may be amongst those who are called the true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, let us not be found a false worshipper. Let us not be found a hypocritical worshipper. But Lord, tonight, perhaps for the first time, may we be found a true worshipper. And thus, Lord, may we bow down before our God. In those words, perhaps, like the Apostle Paul did when he was stricken to the ground, and he was able to come and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, Lord, grant that willing submission to the will of our God. We come, Lord, and think and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Oh Lord, we're grateful for the wonderful example of the Saviour when he came and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, give us then that humble submission to our God and to desire, truly desire to do thy will. Oh Lord, we know it's a good place. We know it's a place of blessing. We know it's a place of comfort. We know it's a place of peace. Oh Lord, come, we pray, and bless us with such a situation, so that we're able to come submitting ourselves to thee, doing thy will, not counting the cost, Lord, remembering that thou didst not count the cost, nor thou didst set thy face steadfastly to Jerusalem. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful example and testimony. And now, Lord, thou hast called us to walk upon the earth. Thou hast called us, Lord, to be thy witnesses. Thou hast called us to walk the thorny road. But thou hast called us to walk the narrow road. And thou hast caused us to walk in that way which by thy grace leads to eternal life. And so, gracious God, we pray, come, we do earnestly seek and possess our hearts and minds. Lord, it is all of grace. We need thee, Lord. We need thee every hour. We need thee now to come to us, to touch our hearts, to do us good. Lord God Almighty, leave us not to any hardness, any rebellion, any self-will, but Lord, come and possess us, we earnestly pray. Turn our feet, perhaps, in an opposite direction from perhaps going away from thyself. Lord, turn those feet to come to thyself. Lord, we're thankful for the gracious invitation of the gospel. We're thankful that thou didst say on this earth, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Lord, we know those words are gloriously true. Some of us have proved it. We pray, Lord, that all of us may prove it and know the wonderful favour of being a true follower of a despised and crucified man, and to be counted worthy to suffer for thy sake. O Lord Jesus, come, we pray tonight, into our midst. Stand amongst us. Bless us together. We're grateful for the Word of God, for the wonderful truths it contains, for the amazing detail that we're able to read. And we know, Lord, that no word in thy word is wasted word. And we're thankful for it. And we pray we may lay hold of thy word, that it may lay hold of us, that it may indeed speak to our hearts and be a true eternal blessing for us. Lord, we come tonight and we pray that in every heart there may be indicted by thy Holy Spirit a true desire to seek the Lord and to do thy will. Gracious God, we plead for these things. We plead it for Jesus' sake, that our souls may be blessed and thy great name lifted up and honoured and glorified. Lord, we know in answer to that question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, we know there's nothing too hard for thee, because thou art a great God, a great God who has performed great things, a great God who is able to perform great things. May we have a humble confidence in thee and come tonight, Lord, casting all our care upon thee, believing thou carest for us. Lord, melt hard hearts. Take away all rebellion. Deliver us chiefly from ourselves. And may we fall indeed into the arms of the blessed Saviour. And may we know that great truth that underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord God, we come tonight. We pray for great things. But Lord, thou art a great God. And therefore, increase our faith. And may we pray in faith, nothing wavering. We pray for everyone here tonight. And those that come here, remember each one. Those who are at home, Lord, with their children, be with them, bless them. Others perhaps not well enough, bless them. But Lord, we pray for thy great grace to come upon everyone. Lord, that this little place here may be a place of wonderful blessing. A place, Lord, where thy Holy Spirit is seen working so gloriously and wonderfully. Lord, we're thankful there is a testimony, a witness here, and we pray it may increase, and there may be that flowing together of the congregation and the church. There may be that love one to another. They may pray one for another. They may fulfill the law of Christ and not be selfish and not be self-centered, but rejoice as they see thy work appearing. And, O Lord, bind them together. Lord, we pray for this town, Lord, and the surrounding villages. Lord, we know there are thousands who care nothing for their souls. We pray, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit to go forth and grant a gracious and blessed and wonderful work in the lives of many, if it could be thy will. And grant that there may be a real prayer here for such things, a real burden. Lord, a wrestling prayer. Lord, for the blessing of the Lord to come down and to favour this company, so that there may be much honour and glory to our God. Lord, we know thou art able. Oh, if it could be thy will, perform such things. We again, Lord, come and pray for our country. We pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for our Queen. We pray for the royal family. Oh, Lord, if it could be thy holy will, bless their souls. Lord God, if it's thy will. We look back in our history, Lord, and we're thankful for those who have been true examples, true Christians who have led our country, both in government and also in the royal throne. Lord, we pray that we may yet know better days. Lord, we would come tonight and confess our individual sin. But Lord, we know thy word tells us that judgment must begin at the house of God. And Lord, we're a guilty people. We're guilty individuals. Lord, we're ashamed so much of such a failure we are. But Lord, our eyes are upon thee, the great God. And therefore, Lord, have mercy upon us individually. Have mercy upon the people. Have mercy upon our nation. And grant, if it could be thy will, a time of true spiritual blessing. Lord God, look upon us. And now, Lord, we've gathered here. Lord, do not send us away empty. Do come and touch our hearts. whatever condition those hearts may be in, come and touch them, we pray. Lord, we remember in the Word of God those that press through the crowd to just touch the hem of thy garment. And Lord, virtue pass to them. Lord, tonight, may there be many pressing through the crowd of unbelief to touch the hem of thy garment. Come, Lord Jesus, bless us, we pray. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and we'll read verse 42. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and reading verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I believe it is true that every born-again believer will pray a prayer like this, that the Lord will remember them. It is very personal, isn't it? The Lord will remember me. We don't want to be passed by. We don't want to be forgotten, because the situation is very desperate. We have an eternal soul, and we want to know that it is well with our soul. And so to come in words like this, remember me. Well, I wonder if you've prayed that prayer. If you sought the Lord, that he would remember you. Now, there was a wonderful answer, wasn't there, to this man. There'd been a wonderful change in the life of this man. We perhaps can understand that the words of the hymn, faith laughs at impossibilities and says, it shall be done. There may seem sometimes things in our life which we might think is impossible. The Lord is able to do for us each far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And what a blessing it is when God gives us faith to believe. You want some encouragement? Read the 11th of Hebrews, and you'll see there how God gave those many people wonderful faith to do the will of God. You think of God's servant Moses. There he was in a very convenient and good position in Pharaoh's household, enjoying all the luxuries of that life. But we're told of Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the treasures of sin for a season. Oh, what a wonderful choice, my friends. And what a wonderful thing if God gives you and me the strength and ability and grace to seek likewise, to put first things first. The things of eternity are so much more important than the things of this life. The devil tells us it's not so important. And in any event, we can carry on in the things we're doing, and we can leave seeking the Lord until a later date when it's more convenient. Well, we are told today that we are to seek the Lord today, not tomorrow. And this man, this dying thief, he sought the Lord today. And in Matthew's account, we read that both of the thieves spoke against the Lord Jesus Christ. There they were on the cross, the Lord in the centre, both speaking against him. And then this wonderful change which occurred in one of those thieves. It's a very solemn account, isn't it? One thief saved, one thief lost. One thief sought for mercy, one thief did not. One thief found mercy, the other thief did not. And we can think of that tonight, as us being in that position. Which side of the cross are we? Well, here was this man then. And we're told the other, that's the thief that was saved, answering, rebuked the other thief, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And we've sung really in that second hymn, really, if our soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. That was what this man was saying. And when the Holy Spirit works in our heart, we realize we do not merit heaven. We are bad sinners. We deserve hell. And what a blessing then. The Lord's turned us. He turned this man. And you know, when the Lord works, the work is done. And therefore he came here with this confession. When the Lord digs into your heart and my heart and shows us what's there, we don't then try and cover it up. We may have done. You may have tried to cover up your sins. David tried to cover up his sins. He wasn't able to, because the Holy Spirit, through the faith in the prophet, told him, thou art the man. David was condemned. What a blessing, my friends, when you and I are condemned by the Holy Spirit of God. This man was condemned by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he was able to say, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our sins. But this man hath done nothing amiss. What a view he had of the Saviour. There was the Saviour hanging on that cross. Nothing naturally to attract him. My friends, today, there's nothing naturally to attract you and me to Christ. His visage was so marred more than any man, as he was before he was crucified. My friends, nothing naturally attractive in Christ. But oh, bless God, when the Holy Spirit shows to us that there is our only hope of salvation. That was the only place that this thief could come to. And he did. And he came to Jesus. The hymn writer says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. What a good thing it is. We have such a Saviour. We can come to him just as we are. He knows how we are, because if we're his, it's his work that's causing us to realise our true condition. Perhaps not our true condition, but at least a condition that shows us our great need of a Saviour. And what a wonderful blessing if we have that faith like this man was given. He was given faith. Now there he was on that cross, with all those mob all around shouting and cursing the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he was, there as it were by himself, and yet giving that wonderful testimony. He wasn't ashamed, was he? He wasn't ashamed of the Lord Jesus. He was willing to acknowledge who he was. He gives a very clear and wonderful definition. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Nothing amiss. He was prepared to say that amidst that throng who were all against the Lord Jesus, or at least the ones probably near to the cross were. And you see faith given to this man. Now, bless God, he still gives faith today. He still gives faith today, as that faith comes into our hearts to believe the truth of God's word. This man hath done nothing amiss. And then you see his cry, his prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord had shown him his condition, shown him his place, shown him where he was. Saw perfection in the Saviour, caused him to cry out in that way, Lord, remember me. and all of us will need the Lord to remember us. I hope you don't want to be passed by. I hope you don't want to be amongst those who hear nothing from the Saviour. This man had a beautiful answer, a wonderful answer, a glorious answer. He'd come and he cried to the Lord and he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What did the Lord say? "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, that was a most wonderful answer to that prayer, wasn't it? And my friends, today, don't forget we come before the same God. We're told Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Rejoice tonight in the sure words of God. Rejoice tonight in a blessed Saviour. Rejoice tonight that we have a God who hears and answers prayer." He answered this man's prayer. Did he deserve it? He was a sinner, a great sinner. But he pleaded, he came to the Saviour, just as he was, wasn't he? Just as he was. Yes, he couldn't kind of get himself worked up into a religious frame of mind. He couldn't kind of produce himself in what he might have thought was a right position to pray to God. He was just there, hung on the cross. That's why we're thankful. The Lord knows where we are. He knows how we are. He knows our heart. He knows his work, if it's going on there and producing a true cry. "Remember me." Now, I believe this was not a natural cry. It was a spiritual cry. And there is a difference, you see. Sometimes people want God to remember them, to prosper them in this world. Nothing wrong with that. But the more important thing is to be remembered with reference to the state and condition of our eternal soul. The things of time are fast passing away. Our little life is fast passing away. Time will soon be no more for us. Then we shall be in eternity. Then we shall be in eternity. There's that little story which I'll repeat. Was an account of a young man, a 17-year-old man, and he died, and there was a gravestone put up in a graveyard on a place where many passers-by passed, and there it was. People passed by, and on this gravestone was this: "Passerby, stand and think. I'm in eternity. You're on the brink." And so we are. And it's good, therefore, if we realize eternity is before us. This man knew eternity was before him, didn't he? He was being crucified. He hadn't got long to live. His case was desperate. None of us know how long we've got to live, do we? May our case be really desperate, as it were. May we come and say, "Lord, remember me." It may be like this: "Lord, remember me today. Don't pass me by." And we're reminded perhaps of the account of what we refer to as blind Bartimaeus. And in Luke's gospel, he's not actually referred to as Bartimaeus, but nonetheless he was. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, that's the Lord Jesus, a certain blind man, who was Bartimaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, is Jesus of Nazareth passing by tonight? If he's here in our midst, is he passing us by? Well, what did this man say? He cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. Don't be discouraged when you're told not to seek the Lord. The devil doesn't want you to. And you'll say, well, it's not a convenient time, and there's much to do, don't worry about that. Well, this man, he didn't listen to those who would put him off. No, and they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. This man had an urgent case. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, I wonder if you're crying that tonight. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And it's an urgent cry. And you can't give God any rest. You want him to hear. And you want him to remember you. Will he pass you by? And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And what a blessing if we have that same concern, to have spiritual sight, to view ourselves in some measure as God sees us, and to see the Lord Jesus Christ as that great and glorious Saviour who died on Calvary's cross to redeem my soul. Oh, blessed eyes. If your eyes are open to see that, and if you cried out therefore for mercy that you might see it, to bless God for it. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. It's God that gives spiritual sight. Don't forget that. It's right and good to study the word of God. Absolutely. But my friends, it's God that gives sight. You may say, why is that? It's because God will have the glory. God won't let you have any glory. You'd have to come and say, yes, it's all of grace. It's all of thy mercy. It's all of thy infinite favour to an unworthy sinner. And what did Jesus say? Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. This man, blind Bartimaeus, was given that faith to cry out, and again, don't give up. Cry out for mercy until the Lord comes and says, receive thy sight. Oh, you possess that faith to believe. It's God-given faith. It's not something that you've worked yourself up to. Do remember that you won't have any glory, and you won't want to have any glory. You'll want God to have the glory. You'll rejoice in what he's done, and you'll pray that he might give you grace to testify of what he's done for your never-dying soul. Here was then this man, this thief, crying out in these words, Lord, remember me. Well, tonight, are we praying a prayer like that? Have we prayed a prayer like that? And if we have, has it been answered? Have we a testimony to be able to say, the Lord heard my prayer. The Lord heard my cry. He did remember me. Oh, bless God if that is so. Isn't it wonderful that Almighty God should remember to look upon the less than the least of all saints? You'll stand amazed. You'll be full of wonder that the great God should have condescended to have been mindful of you and to not have passed you by. And you would have feared that he might pass you by. Bartimaeus didn't want to be passed by. And neither will any true child of God. They'll want to hear the voice of Jesus. They'll want to hear him speak into your soul. They want him to speak perhaps in similar words to this, that you will be with the Lord in paradise. Perhaps not today, perhaps not tomorrow. But nonetheless, to have the promise that it is well with your soul. That's the great issue, isn't it? That must be the great issue. The great thing concerns our soul. It's a wonderful blessing that we're able to have the Word of God to encourage us, and which speaks to us and directs us how to seek and what to pray for. But may we be found in praying that the Lord will reveal himself unto us as he does not unto the world. And the Lord reveals himself unto his people as that sin atoning God, that God who hears and answers prayer. What a blessing it is if you and I then recognize the wonderful truth, the wonderful favour of the mercy of Almighty God. The psalmist in Psalm 106, he comes down and he speaks these words in the fourth verse. Remember me. You see, real religion is between your soul and God. Because you are going to have to stand before God on that great judgment day. And real religion is between your soul and God. And so to be able to come like this, very beautifully, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Perhaps we know something of the favour that God does grant to his people, and we want to be joined to that company. We don't want to be left outside. Remember me, O God, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And the psalmist says, O visit me with thy salvation. Do you long for a visit from the Lord? Have you prayed for it? Have you beseeched him for it? Has it come from your heart with true earnestness? You see, when the Lord works powerfully in our heart, Jesus becomes the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Is that so in your soul's experience? And has Jesus heard your prayer? Has he humbly come and heard your prayer and answered it? What a blessing. What a mercy. If you have the evidence that the great and glorious God has remembered you. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Show to you his life and death. Show to you that he's paid the price to atone for your sins. Shown to you, therefore, that it is well with your soul. Oh, there is a great and blessed peace to know that the Lord God has looked upon us. The Lord God hasn't passed us by. He's had compassion on us. It's something that we never deserved. What a mercy when the Lord has compassion on our soul. Well, here says the psalmist, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Show to me, Lord, that I'm amongst those for whom thou hast died upon that cross at Calvary. Show me, blessed Lord, that I am one for whom thou hast shed thy most precious blood. Show me, gracious God, that it is well with my soul. Show me, gracious God, that by thy infinite love and grace one day I shall be amongst that heavenly throng in glory. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. And he goes on, that I may see the good of thy chosen, the good of those who are blessed with like precious faith, the good of those who are journeying along that narrow way, that difficult path, that path of tribulation, and yet the way that leads to heaven at last. The Word of God tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but you see, the end of that way is destruction. You know, the right way is God's way, and the way that God leads us in will bring us safely home. It may not be, it won't be the way you'll choose, but God chooses the right way. And God chooses the way that will make you and me dependent upon God. He'll show you you're not allowed to be dependent upon your own abilities. You have to come, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Good place. God-given place. Brought humbly there. Nothing. Yes, my best is stained and dyed in sin. My all is nothing worth. All you have is filthy rags. To think that this gracious, blessed God should condescend to look upon you in your lost and ruined state, to come where you are and cause you to cry unto him like this: O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, the family of God, who rejoice together at his goodness, the household of faith that lift the Lord up and desire to honour and glorify him. But I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Well, we can glory in the prospect of eternal happiness in heaven at last. May the things of this world become strangely dim, and the things of eternity become brighter and brighter, that I may glory with thine inheritance. He comes, you know, this 106th psalm, and he confesses his sins. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And that must be the position of every true born-again child of God, to realize how bad they are. How bad they are. Sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. Well, if the Lord has brought you to that place of hopelessness and helplessness, let him make you come and cry like this: Lord, remember me, remember me. Yes, it's a good thing. It's a good prayer, isn't it? Nehemiah, you know, in the book of Nehemiah, the very last verse in that book, and Nehemiah was a good man, and he tells us in the last verse, well, before that perhaps, thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business. He was trying to put things right which had gone so wrong in Israel, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. And he says, remember me, O my God, for good. Isn't that lovely? We want God, don't we, to remember us for good. We want God not to remember all our sins. He said, I've cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea, to be remembered no more forever. What a mercy that is, isn't it? As you and I realise, perhaps by his grace, how bad we are. And to think that our sins cost the Lord of life and glory his life. And our sins cause the Lord to pass through that agonizing death. Oh, our sins. You know, may that wonderful thought and vision of a dying Saviour influence us in our life to turn away from sinful things, to turn away from sinful thoughts, how easily they flow in. But you see, we have a God of grace who hears and answers prayer. And may we therefore seek earnestly that the Lord will remember us, enable us, therefore, to do those things which are right, those things which are God-honouring, and to therefore be willing indeed to suffer for his sake. I wonder tonight, are we willing to suffer for his sake? Realising that he was willing to suffer for our sake. He was willing to give his life and to suffer so dreadfully on that cross, and to endure all the spitting and all the scourging and the hiding of his Father's face for us. Are we willing to suffer for him? You know, the Apostle Paul said, if we suffer with him, we should also reign with him. The other is obvious. If we don't suffer, we won't reign. But it's a wonderful, wonderful position to be found in that place, as the apostle desired to be favoured with that union with Christ in his sufferings. He speaks of it, doesn't he? In that third chapter to the Philippians, it's a very beautiful chapter, and it speaks to us so very clearly of where the apostle stood. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What a mercy if we have a right view of eternal blessings. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What do we see there? The Apostle Paul had put a great value on union with Christ. My friends, what value do you and I put on union with Christ tonight? What value? Are we willing to forsake all and to follow him? The apostle was. The apostle was. He had his eyes set upon the Saviour and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And all of us need to have this righteousness of Christ, not our own righteousness. You see, if we are possessed that righteousness, then we're justified. What a wonderful mercy to be found in that condition. That's not of our flesh. That's of the grace of God. It's through his sin atoning death. And be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he comes on to say, that I may know him. And of course the apostle knew the Lord, but he wanted to know him more. This is the reality of true religion. It's not something that comes and goes. The living soul, the healthy soul, wants to be with Christ in this life. The apostle tells us, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, my friends, what a place that is. What a good place, and be found in him, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The apostle had a right view, didn't he, of the value of union with Christ. Oh, that you and I today, in this material world in which we live, with so many things to drag us away from the blessed things of God, that the things of the Lord might be uppermost in our hearts, that we may be so attracted to them, that we're drawn to them. Solomon, in the Song of Solomon, he said those words, draw me, and we will run after thee. What a good place, isn't it? My friends, is that your prayer tonight? To be drawn by the Saviour. And if he does, you're going to run after him, or you're going to stay in your seat? Draw me, he says, Solomon, and we will run after thee. Oh, my friends, what a Saviour to run after. A Saviour who didn't stop. No, he fulfilled all that was necessary to redeem our never dying soul. And I think therefore that by that great and glorious act that he did in giving his body a living sacrifice for our sin, that there procured in glory is a place reserved for us. Unworthy sinner, a place reserved in glory. What a wonderful consideration. That's what the Word of God tells us. Yes, he's reserved a place for his people. Are we therefore willing tonight to suffer with him, thinking of what we owe him? You and I will never, ever be able to repay the debt that we owe. Are we therefore willing to be aligned with the despised and crucified man? Do we want Jesus to be ashamed of us? I'm sure we don't. Hymnwriter has it right, doesn't he? Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. Well, it's very true. Our hopes are only upon what Christ has done. And are we ashamed? Are we ashamed? Are you ashamed? Am I ashamed? Let us not be. Let us not be. And let's go forth, as it were, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Our life, our little life, is fast fading away. And then eternity. What a blessing, therefore, if we are amongst those whom the Lord, in his great love and mercy, has remembered us. He's heard our cry, the cry of this thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, tonight, my friends, may our prayer be, Lord, remember me. And may that come from our heart. And may we receive the answer. The Lord does remember us and does bless us, so that we can therefore go on our way rejoicing, thankful to know that the great almighty God, the ruler of the universe, has condescended to such an unworthy sinner and has heard their cry and has remembered them for good. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £705, and on Monday for the Needy Cases Fund, £1,077, for both of which we are very thankful. And the Free Grace Evangelistic Association collection yesterday amounted to £1,175, for which we are asked to send thanks and to give thanks to God. God willing, Mr. Philip Hare will preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a church prayer meeting on Friday evening at 7:15. Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1052. Redeemer, whither should I flee? Or how escape the wrath to come? The weary sinner flies to thee for shelter from impending doom. Smile on me, gracious Lord, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. Hymn 1052.
now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.